like to invite Pastor Henry and Carolyn Joyner from Christ Church of Rockville to come on up here. We've known Henry and Carolyn since the early 1990s, and great man and woman of integrity, love for the Lord. I really appreciate Henry being a great brother to my dad for many, many years, but Henry has come and shared at Time School, Living Grace Christian School over the years, and really helped to inspire the young people. And he's a grandfather, great-grandfather? Grandfather. All right. And he's also my kind of basketball player. He is kind of basketball player that does the dirty work of rebounding and playing tough defense and hustling all over the court. He's that kind of player. So the Lord is with you, Henry. Thanks for joining us today. Thank you for sharing with us.
Amen. May God bless you, and we are delighted to be here. And we do give honor to the Spirit of Christ, to the pastor of this church, and to the apostle, and to my lovely wife, and to all the saints of the Most High God. We are plumb tickled to be here today to share and to fellowship with you here at Northgate. We thank God for the friendship that we have had down through the years and have now with the leaders of this church, especially Thurlow. We thank God for him, amen, in the times that we get a chance every week just about to get together for a time of fellowship. Had the privilege to ride with him on last Thursday, amen, in his new car. Man, that was an experience. But we thank God for the goodness of the Lord. Amen. God is so good. Amen. And we're glad that he extended to us an invitation to come and to minister here this morning. And we're just happy to do so in the name of the Lord. We know that you have good preaching here, so I don't have to try to do a lot of preaching. You have excellent teachers here and a great theologian in Apostle Thurlow, so I know that you are quite familiar with the word of the Lord. Amen. And we praise God for that. But there is something that the Lord have laid upon our hearts to share, amen, today with you, because we're living in some strange times. Amen. You know with the church, we are enjoying the Lord. But in the world around us in which we live, amen, there is a need for a move of God upon the hearts of the people. And not only that, but even in some of our churches, we have the form of godliness, but some way, somehow, we seem to be denying the power thereof. And God has impressed upon our hearts that what we need in America is a good old Holy Ghost revival.
Yes. Amen.
A great outpouring of God's Spirit upon our hearts and a stirring of God's Spirit within the hearts of those who have received Christ as their personal Savior. The Bible said in the King James, I think it said, if you be risen with Christ, then you ought to seek the things which are above and not things on this earth. God is calling for his church to come out from among them and be separate. Amen. He's talking about your lifestyle, your conduct, your behavior, your way of thinking and doing things. It's not to be like the world. We are not called to pattern our lives after the world. But we are called to be light. We are called to be salt. We are called to be ambassadors. We are called to say to the world, come follow me, and I'll show you the way to Jesus. So I want to talk to you for a few moments this morning. I don't want to be too long. So I guess I better set my timer. I don't want the apostle to have to come pull my coat because I have gone too long. But we're just excited about what the Lord has done and what the Lord is doing in the church. But there is a need for spiritual renewal from my perspective as I observe what's happening in the church world. We have a lot of form. Amen. We know how to do church. Amen. We have beautiful praise and worship. Amen. Yeah, at least that's what we call it. We sing the songs. But you know, there need to be power in our lives that will enable us to walk victoriously. It's not what we do on Sunday morning from 10 to 1 or 10 to 12 or whatever time. But it's what we live each and every day of our lives that is so important. The Bible said, since you have been risen with Christ, seek the things above. The Bible lets us know that our mind and our affection ought to be focused towards Jesus. We ought to love Him with all our heart, all our body, all our soul, all our mind, all that we are. We ought to just love Jesus first and foremost. So I want to talk about revival. When and why? When do we need it? And why do we need it? And I'm talking about personal revival. I'm talking about corporate revival in our local fellowship. We need God to stir us, to wake us up. Amen. Revive me to be made alive, to come back alive. You once was alive, once was vibrant, once was excited about Jesus, once was obedient to the word of God, once loved to study, to read, to meditate upon God's word, to discuss God's word, once loved to do that. But now there are so many other things that gets our affection, that draws our affection in another direction. And when that happens, we need God to revive us, to reignite the fire of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and in our mind. The Bible said in Psalms 85 and 6 through 8, will thou not revive us again? Revive us again. And we need to be revived again and again and again. Anytime we find ourselves drifting away, amen, from faithfulness, commitment, dedication, devotion to God, we need God to revive us again. Amen. If you have a car, you filled it up a week or so ago, but I guarantee you had to fill it again. Amen. Because it consumed the gasoline that you put in there. And when we live the life Christ wants us to live, amen, we live it off the power of the Holy Spirit, and we need to make sure that our tank is full. Amen. So we have to say to God, God, revive me again. Feel me, the last Sunday sermon, that was good for last Sunday. That was good for all week long. But Lord, I got to face that same enemy again tomorrow. And I don't want to face him with an empty tank. I want to be filled, anointed. I want to be focused on you. And I want to be committed to you so I'll be able to triumph. Excuse me, next week as well as I did last week. So we need to be revived again and again and again. David said here in this writing, he said, will thou not revive us again that thy people may do what? Rejoice in thee. Amen. That thy people may rejoice in you, may be excited. Enthused, amen, may rejoice in you. Not rejoice in what they have, not rejoice in what you have done, materialistically for them, but they may just rejoice in the fact that they are connected to you. Because the Bible said that we are heirs and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. We ought to rejoice that Jesus, for the lack of a better term, is our big brother. We ought to rejoice that God calls us sons. And we can call him Father. Amen. We ought to rejoice in that. Amen. We don't just rejoice because God gave us a new home and thank God for that. We don't rejoice because God gave us an excellent job. But we thank God for that. But our greatest rejoicing ought to be in the fact that I am his and he is mine. The Bible said, beloved, now, not when you die, but right now, you have eternal life. The Bible said, beloved, now, we are the sons of God. And it does not appear what we shall be, but we do know when he comes, we're going to be like him. But I like the next verse. Every man that has this hope in him does what? Purify himself. Amen. By repenting, by acknowledging his shortcoming, and by reading and becoming a doer of the word of God. And so we need this type of activity going on in our lives all the time. So why? Revive us so that we might rejoice in thee. Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. I would hear what God, the Lord, would speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints, but let them not turn again to folly. When God revives, it's amazing how we can come to church, have a great move of the Spirit of God, rejoice in the Lord, amen, and go right out of the fellowship of believers and involve ourselves in folly. Doing and engulfed in something that has nothing to do with God. Like somebody said, we sometimes act like we're doing a baseball game, football game. We go to the playoff or whatever it is, and they get ready to play ball, and then they say, let's have the national anthem. We stand with, oh, say, can you see? We sing this song, and at the end of it, go do something that ain't got nothing to do with the Star Spangled Banner. We go play football. We go play basketball. We go play baseball. Has nothing to do with it. Sometimes we come to the house of God, and we have gotten into the routine of going through that routine that we come in and just do it. And we go out after service and get involved in stuff that ain't got nothing to do with what we just talked about at church. That's the reason we need God to revive us again. What is revival? Revival is not a week of meetings. You know, but that's what sometimes we act like it is. Oh man, we're having a revival. We're having a week of meetings. I'm not saying today that we need a bunch of week of meetings. Amen. What we need is a reconnecting to God. What we need is an outpouring of the Spirit of God in and upon our lives. So revival is not a week of meeting. I've been there. I've been that route. Amen. I've been in church in revivals where we have what we call revival church services for a month every night. And when that month was over, amen, the only thing was revived a lot of time was our wallet. We had money when we started. We have no money at the end of the revival because we gave it all to an evangelist. That was supposed to be a revivalist and supposed to say, you know, a man cannot revive you. It's the Spirit of God, it's Jesus, it's Christ only that's able to stir our heart. Man can stir our emotions, but he cannot revive us. God sends and is the creator and sustainer that revives. A revive is not controlled by men. It's not a thing where men control. Revival is a heart thing. Revival has to deal with our hearts being on fire for the things of the kingdom of God. That's what revival is about. Now, we need revival. We're approaching an election. And man, most of us don't know who in the world to vote for. Oh, we say, oh, Hillary, she's a liar. Donna is as well. So if you try to skip liars, you got to skip him too. So who do we vote for? You know, we need a word from the Lord. Amen. We need a word from the Lord on this situation. We need God to stir us and guide us and direct us so that we make a decision that's going to bring honor and glory to God. We look at all of the laws that we have in our land today that are the very opposite of what God is saying. And we ask the question, with all those who are confessing believers in America, how could that happen? How could that happen? When we have millions of people who say, I'm born again, I'm a child of God, I'm connected to the powerhouse. And yet, a handful of people can come up with an agenda and they can pull it off and get their way. Why? I think it's because the church needs to be revived. We need not to just talk about the power. We need to demonstrate and display the power. And you know what? We have the resource. If we have the Spirit of God in us, all we need to do is let go and let that Spirit have His way in our life.
That's right.
We don't need a power coming from any place. The Bible said He's able to do it according to the power that worketh in you. Thus power is in you. We need to let it work in guiding and directing us in the paths of righteousness for the namesake of the Lord. Revival is always brought about by repentance. We've got to be willing to repent, to admit that we missed the mark, ask God's forgiveness, and turn back to Him. Not only that, but revival is a renewed zeal. A renewed zeal to obey God. A renewed zeal to obey God. Just wanting to obey Him. Wanting to do, Lord, what's your will? Lord, what would you have me to do? As I'm talking about the election, Lord, how should I vote about this? You know, really seriously praying about it. Not praying and say, God, I'm going to vote for so-and-so and so-and-so, and I want you to bless it. I want you to turn that around. I want you to make that all right. I want you to make that work. No, Lord, what would you have me to do? So, Lord, when I see my father work, then I want to work. God, when I see you put your stamp of approval on this person to be the person to lead this country, Lord, then I want to vote for him or her. And you know what? God will guide us through that process. And when we have the hunger in our soul to just be right with God. Amen. We don't want to just be religious. We don't want to just go through the motions. We want to be right with God. We want to be salt. We want to be light. We want to be an example of what it is that God is calling this world to do and want us to be as children of the Most High God. So then the question would ask again, like I said, when do we need revival? When do we need revival? We talked about what. When do we need revival? You know what? We need revival when the fire is burning low. I won't say gone out. Now you know you need it then. But I'm talking about when it's burning low. when there's just a little bit of earning and desiring and longing in us for the things of God. The fire is burning low. Well, y'all ever had the fire burn low in your life? Oh, all y'all just blazing. No wonder y'all got that hole dug out there getting ready to be a. Y'all on fire for God. Just burning. Whoa, Lord. You know, but you know, the church need to be on fire. I heard a guy told a story about the church caught on fire. The church building literally caught on fire and were burning. And the saints were out there, but before you know, you call 911 and they come out with all them big trucks making all that noise, you know. But they were using buckets and trying to fight this fire. So the whole community gathered together, and they was all there just throwing water on the fire, trying to put it out. And the guy looked over there, and in the neighborhood, they had an atheist. And the atheist was out there bringing water to put the fire. And the guy looked at the guy and said, "My God, man." Said, "This is the first time I ever seen you at church." He said to the man, "The church ain't never been on fire before." Amen. See, if the church was on fire, his indication was I would have come earlier. But the church has never been on fire. I ain't seen no fire. You know what? The world need to see fire burning in the church. They need to see men and women who are on fire for Jesus. In spite of the opposition they may have to face, they are on fire. They are burning. They are excited. They are living a life that represents who they confess to be. They are not just confessing, but they are possessing. They possess the Spirit of the Lord. They possess the power of God. They are on fire and they are excited about Jesus. And the things of this world do not stir them, but it's the things of the kingdom of God. So when the fire is burning low, when the brook is running dry, yeah, when the brook is running dry, it's not springing up and overflowing onto others. But you got just enough for you. You ain't got nothing to share. Nothing at all. Why you think we don't evangelize? If that brook is running over, hey man, you want to get all excited and somebody will sing that song and go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is Lord. You are excited when the brook is overflowing. But when the brook is running dry, we need God to revive us again. And when things are more important to us than Jesus is. You know, if I were to ask you the question today, is there anything more important to you than Jesus? You know what? Nobody would put their hand up. We wouldn't say that and say, "Oh, no, never, never, never. The most important thing to me is Jesus. Just give me Jesus. All I want is just Jesus, just Jesus." Look, man, be real. Be honest. What's important in the Christian community is that we get down to honesty.
Amen.
Where that we are not going through the form. We know what is right to say, amen, but are you doing what's right to do? It doesn't profit us to say it right if we're not doing it right. It doesn't matter what you say if you are not doing it. Amen. We must be doers of the word, not just hearers of the word. The Bible said the hearer is not justified, but it's the doer that's justified. I can know what's right to do all day long. If I don't do it, amen, I don't reap the benefit of even knowing what was right. But we got to do what's right. We have got to live this Christian life. We have got to be light. We've got to be salt. We've got to be examples. The Bible said if salt have lost its ability to season, amen, it's good for nothing. But to be thrown out and trampled under the feet of men. Amen. We want to be salt that makes a difference.
Amen.
Yesterday I sat down to the table. My wife fixed me Some breakfast, I think it was. Not taste grits, I think it, yeah. And they wasn't quite as salty as I like them. So I decided to put some more salt on. I put a little bit too much salt. And you know what? Did nobody have to tell me that they were salt in them grits? As soon as I taste them, the nature of salt came forth. And I said, oh man, I overdid it. I didn't tell her. I just stirred it up a little more. Everything in there. And ate it. But I'm telling you, salt will distinguish itself. Amen. Light will distinguish itself. Amen. If you're the salt of the earth, you ain't got to tell nobody. Go around with no big Bible stuck up under your arm talking about, ooh, glory, I'm a man of God. No, you don't have to do that. Amen. Just be salt. And it will distinguish itself. Just be light. You hit that switch back there, it's going to get dark in there. All you got to do is hit that light. Amen. You don't have to go around rebuking no darkness. Get out of here, darkness. I rebuke you. No, just be light and show up. Amen. And darkness have got to go. Just be salt and show up. And freshness have got to go. That salt will make a difference. Amen. And that's what we as a church is called to be. And if you have lost your ability to season, then what good are you? What good are you? So we have got to make up in our mind that we're going to do it Jesus' way. Now let me run through a couple of things here as it relates to when we need revival. Now listen to them. It may not apply to you at all. I hope it does apply in some way, if you understand. I don't think I came here and totally missed everything y'all needed here. You understand what I'm saying? I don't know who he talking to. Man, we that's not us. We whew, Lord, we got good worship. We have rich word. But the question is, are we obeying that word? Oh, sure, you got rich word. But are we doing it? The Bible said in Ezekiel, said it was like a lovely song. Said, man, they'll hear it, but they won't do it. Oh, they listen to it. They delight to listen to it. Oh, man, we love that word. A powerful word. Man, that word kick, man. That word was stop. Are you doing the word? Are you doing the word? This is what's important. Let me get in. Let me tell you. See, when is revival needed? Let me tell you, sir. Revival needed when we had rather. Now listen to me. Now I'm just telling you, when we had rather watch television than to read the Bible or pray, you need to be revived. When you'd rather just, you get greater enjoyment. I mean, you get, when the church is praying at a prayer meeting, or when the time of prayer for the corporate body, whether you're in home or at the church, we're somewhere watching a television. When the time we ought to study the word of God, maybe y'all don't do that, but we are somewhere watching TV. And we enjoy. How many of y'all know these very few things come on TV? Really, children of God can watch at peace all the way through. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? I mean, the other day I was at home like 1 or 2 o'clock in the daytime, and I listened to some language came on a program that I was sitting there watching. I said, "My God, you would have your little baby, your little children in the room." Because you're watching something that don't expect that to happen. But just about anything goes now. So you know what? As Christians, we're gonna begin to have to monitor. And it's difficult to do that. Because they will slip one in on you. Because they slipped that one in on me that day. I did not know that type of language was used on TV at 1 or 2 o'clock in the day. So that lets us know that, man, we got to get our hearts and mind away from the TV. Even you watch news, and they're bleeping out some of the stuff that people are saying there because they know it's not appropriate. But I'm saying, when we'd rather watch TV, do that, we find good pleasure, do that. Let me ask you, brother, you said, well, that ain't me. Let me tell you something. You know, we're sitting out. How many of y'all like movies? Yeah, we all like a good movie, right? Man, I like them old westerns that I see on TV. But let me tell you something. We would sit down for 2 hours and we would watch a movie. And we'll not complain about how long it is. But if we come to church and a pastor stand behind the sacred desk and preach for 2 hours, we have something to say. Y'all hear what I'm saying? I'm let's just make it real. Man, we coming in here talking to all this spiritual stuff. Hey, man, we need to talk about the stuff that's killing us. But we'll sit down, man, and watch a movie. Woo. Come on, let's go get some popcorn. No, forget the popcorn. It's just getting good. And we will sit there for an hour or two or how long the thing is. And then we don't want nobody talking. Because that feeds something in us. And we connect to it. We enjoy it. But when it comes to the Word of God, the bread of life, the way of life, amen, we want you to do it quick and a hurry and let us out of here. We got somewhere to go. We got something to do. We can't give God all of our time. God knows I need to rest. God understands that on Monday too, but you get up and go to work and you stay there for 8 hours. But when we come to the place where those things become such an interest to us that it kind of trumps, amen, our reading the word and our prayer and our fellowship, then we need revival. We need revival when we make little effort to witness to people that are lost. I'm talking about sharing the gospel with people that don't know Christ. Little effort. People that are lost and going to hell. I guess it's okay to say hell in the end. Amen. They're lost and going to hell. And we spend a little time, man. Even your mama. Amen. Lost and going to hell. Your brother, your children, all the people going to hell. How much time do you spend in prayer for them? Amen. Are you weeping until your pillows are wet? Eat your pillows wet each night in prayer and agony for your lost loved one. We ain't even getting out of the family yet. But those that are loved ones, when there is no earning, no yearning, no hunger, no thirst to pray and to cry out to God, for people who are lost, amen, it's indicative of the fact that we need revival. We need spiritual renewal. We need to be awakened to the call and the purpose for us being here. We are here to witness for Christ. We are here to let someone know that Jesus is the answer to their life situation. That Jesus is Savior. And when we have very little interest in doing that, we need spiritual revival. Now listen to this. Don't get upset. We need revival when we have time for recreation and sports, but not for Bible study and prayer. You know what I'm saying? I'm just trying to just be simple. When we got time, we got time for that. But we don't have time for prayer. I mean, this whole world is set to stop us from accomplishing what God has predestined us to do. You know that? Come right to our churches. Amen. And pull our kids right out of our church on Sunday morning, out on a soccer field, on a baseball field, on a football field. I mean, and we let it happen. need to say, wait a minute. We call to win laws. So, but oh, my son is going to get a scholarship. He's going to play professional ball. I mean, he is good. My daughter, she's excellent. And we go through all of this routine. God would have not given them that talent if he didn't want them to use it. Instead of just standing up and saying, my daughter can do it, my son can play ball, but we go to church on Sunday. So we can't do it on Sunday. Not letting this Alpha church. And then what they had the nerve to do, somehow, it put it right at church time. Instead of putting it at 4 or 5 o'clock in the evening, because people just don't have Sunday night service that much now. No, they're going to put it right at the time when you're supposed to be at church. And that's a test of your commitment to God. My son was telling me about this preacher. He's what we would say is the first preacher of the multi-head, one of the mega churches and whatnot. But his son was a good soccer player. And his son was on the team. And he would come to church and leave early and rush out to take his son out to play. But God convicted him. See, we don't deal with that stuff without conviction, and I can understand that. You may stop just because somebody said that, but it's only when conviction hits your heart that you cut it loose. And so the man had a talk with his son. His son said, you know what? We can't go to that soccer no more. We can't do that anymore. God have convicted me that I don't need to rush through my sermon just to get out to a soccer game. And said, son, looked at him and said, Daddy, said, you know, I've been wondering about your commitment.
Wow.
Even his son knew that he ought not be doing that. We're living in a time when the enemy would deceive anybody he can. So when that type of stuff, when those things become paramount in our lives and become first and focus in our lives, it's indicative of the fact we need revival. We need revival when our Christianity is joyless and dry. Thank God y'all are not joyless and dry. But if your personal one is joyless and dry, you need revival. We need revival when our family is not praying together. Do your family pray together? In our church, and what we do, we'll come to church and do stuff that we will not go home and do. Amen. We need to pray with our family at home. Our children ought to have first learned to pray at home and not in Sunday school. Our children, we don't wait and depend upon Sunday school to teach our children the truth of the Word of God. We teach it at home as well. You know what I'm saying? Hey, I got to take my children. I can't come to this church. Why? Because they don't have what my children need. They don't have this. They don't have that. They don't have that. They don't have classes and training for my children. What the home have? One thing that blew me out of the water is that when people got so upset because they took prayer out of school. And I'm trying to say, you didn't get upset when they took it out of your home. You didn't pray with your children at home. So what make you think they ought to have the liberty to pray at church? And they should, at school. They should have that too. But if we are praying at home, if we've been praying and fasting and seeking God at home, I doubt if they could have taken it out of the school. They took it out of school because we lay back in the bed watching TV, amen, instead of praying and seeking God concerning our children.
Oh, wait a minute. Third, am I okay?
If I'm not, we'll talk about it Thursday.
Yeah, I said, I've done Thursday because I see him more than I see Dan.
Dan, you can send me an email. You know what? We need revival when we know the truth in our head. But we are not practicing it in our lives. when we know the truth in our head. You know, there's some people you can't tell them nothing. Every time you start talking to them about what God, I know. But it's not what you know in your head. It's what you practice in your behavior. That's most important. I'm almost finished here. We need revival. We need revival. When you have to entertain people to draw them to church.
Yes.
It takes entertainment. Man, you got to have a good praise team. You got to have a tight band. You got to have lights flashing here, there, and yonder. Amen. To attract them. It's just like that nightclub that they was in last night, so they don't mind floating in there today. But we got to say, man, that ain't what ought to attract people to the church. What ought to attract people to the church is the church is on fire, and the fire is burning, and lives are changed, and behavior practices are different from the world. That's what ought to attract them there. You know what? We need revival when church folks are at odds with one another and do not put forth effort to reconcile. I mean, don't even try to work it out. They'll leave before they try to work it out. Amen. We need revival. Because we ought to be able to fellowship with one another. Talk about our issue. We ought to be able to disagree without being disagreeable. And if we pray and seek God, He'll help us to work through whatever the issues are that we're dealing with. Let me tell you something. Here in America, church, we need a revival. We need to pray for one. We need to pray and say, God, we need revival, and may it start in me. May it start in me. Don't be talking about they need revival. I wish that the pastor would be revived. Lord, oh, revive the pastor. No, Lord, revive me. If all of us, David, I think in one of his songs, together yourselves, together you'll be together. Amen. If you are revived, and I'm revived, and he's revived, she's revived, he's revived, then all of us are revived. That will radically transform our gathering in our church. So we need a revival.
Amen.
In the church of in America. And I want to say to you today, as I prepare to take my seat, this is a serious, this is a burden on my heart. I don't know what you're burning my heart. Man, we need revival. We need to pray. We need God to light the fire. Light the fire revival in our hearts and in our lives. So that these things that have been so dear to us, we can release them and let them go and embrace Him who paid the price for our salvation, so that we can love Jesus with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our spirit. Under really loving Jesus. Really loving Jesus. God bless you. May heaven smile upon you. We need revival. And I just wanted to lay that out there today. I want you to think about it. And if you agree that revival is needed, ask God to start with you. If every individual in here would cry out to God to revive them, when you come back here next Sunday, you would have a church in the process of being revived to be a witness, amen, that you would have to call a contractor and ask him, is there any way that he can change that building and make it larger? You understand what I'm saying? Because if you see, somebody said if you build it, they'll come. No, if you put it and set it on fire, they'll come. If it's on fire, they will come. If the Holy Ghost is in control there, they will come. Just because you build it, you don't want a big building with a lot of folk that don't know Jesus. You haven't had a headache till you get a mess like that. But you want a church that is filled with people that are filled with God and that are excited about the kingdom. Amen. They're not excited about Northgate.
They're not excited about Pastor Dan. They're not excited about Pastor Thurlow, a bishop, Apostle Thurlow, but they're excited about Jesus. Amen. That's who their excitement is. Their identity is Jesus. Their hope of closeness with is Jesus. And when that's the case, pastor's position, pastor's relationship will be with you what it ought to be, and every member of this church, their relationship will be with you what it ought to be. So don't work for just relationship with people. Work with the relationship with Christ.
Yes.
And let him draw the people to you. God bless you.